Hello and welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer and I am one of your co-hosts. I'm here with my capable colleague, Shannon Abram. Shannon?
Hi, Jim. We are super excited to be recording another episode of Conversations with Community Managers. Today we are joined by Carrie Kirsten. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. We heard through the grapevine that you're stuck in a freezing cold house. So we thought maybe this would be a fun thing to do during the polar vortex for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotta do something to keep busy.
Right? So we would love to kick it off by having you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you work, and the kind of community that you work with.
Great. So I'm Carrie Kirsten. I work for a company called Step & Company. We are a global intermediate chemical manufacturer. So we have about 2,200 employees around the globe at 19 different manufacturing sites. And I lead the internal community that is really the tool that we use to try to connect those 2,200 employees around the globe so that we can share best practices and understand the kind of knowledge that we have in the organization, connect with one another across all of those silos and regional barriers that we have. We use the tool IBM Connections, and so far have we just implemented in August of 2018. So we're just, what is that, 5 months in or so. And so far we really like it. We think that the benefits of this tool are that it's a really robust collaboration tool. So in the same platform, we have the sort of community tools where we can connect with one another, but we also have Instant Messenger and meetings and some other tools that allow for us to connect with each other globally.
Well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that you launched just in the last year. I mean, it's not like you just started thinking about community in the last year. From my understanding, you actually started writing a business case almost 10 years ago. So this community program has, and the community launch has been a long time in the making. Can you talk a little bit about that journey and, you know, maybe if there were twists and turns along the way?
Yeah, so you're right. 10 years ago, I had this vision that, and so I didn't mention my role right now in the organization is internal communications and change management. And prior to that, I was in learning and organization development. While I was in learning, one of my frustrations was not being able to provide adequate learning opportunities or development opportunities to people all around the globe because 19 locations, 2,200 employees, do the math that each location isn't that big. And so really being able to offer learning solutions to really small pockets of people everywhere around the globe was really difficult. And so I wanted to try to leverage all of the knowledge that existed in the organization and help really the employees to develop each other. So I really wanted to try to leverage that, and the knowledge and the expertise that already existed in the organization. And so I submitted a business case to offer some sort of social platform where people could connect globally. And I think that, one, the organization wasn't quite ready. I think the term social landed really poorly. So if I could go back, I think I might have made more progress faster. It might not have taken me 10 years. If I had really just been more thoughtful about how that would land on the organization. Because a couple of years later, as we started digging into this a little bit more, what happened in my organization development role, a senior leader in the organization came to me and said, my department has some really aggressive growth targets. And in order to do that, we are going to have to collaborate better globally. So we have these pockets of technical experts around the globe. We're going to have to get them better connected so that they can share the work that they are doing with one another so that we stop duplicating projects and efforts around the globe. And so I said, that sounds fantastic. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm going, great, we can do this social platform because that's going to help. But I slowed down a little bit and we did an organization network analysis. So I didn't call it a social network analysis, which most people do. So we did an organization network analysis on just that business unit to find out how are they already collaborating? How are they already connecting to each other and to content that existed? And then from that, I could demonstrate with some data. So we're a chemical manufacturer. We have a lot of PhD chemists, researchers, and so data is their love language. So I could share some data with them about where the pockets were in the organization where people weren't connecting or where they didn't know how to connect or who to connect to that had the expertise. And from there, we built some communities of practice to start sharing what they were working on, sharing their knowledge, sharing their research, more just as an operation. And then they said to me, gosh, we really need some tools. We don't have the right tools to make this happen more efficiently. And so, I should maybe also say just in context, the two largest operations for this business unit are in the US and in China. And so the time zone difference obviously gets in the way of them doing a lot of collaborating. So they said, we really need a tool. And I said, fantastic, let's start exploring tools. And then we brought all of the enterprise social platforms back into the mix to figure out what would meet all of their needs. And we landed on IBM Connections because we are an IBM shop, and it would be pretty easy to implement. But we took a year to pilot it. So we really still took our time to see how people would receive it, see how they would engage with it, see how they would take on sort of this different way of working. Because another thing about our culture that was really important for me to keep in mind and use to my advantage, but also be careful about how much I push people to collaborate, is that because of some of the research they do, because of some of the intellectual property that we work with, they may have access to patents, or they have a strong motivation to keep information to themselves so that they can get the credit for the patent that gets produced. So there's a culture of, we want to share best practices so that we can do the right thing for the customer, but there's also this underlying motivation that I have, if I keep it to myself, that I get the patent credit on my CV.
That's really interesting. As you were talking about the kind of expertise location concept and the need to knowledge share, I started to wonder about where you ended up with, you know, were there barriers to people sharing, and was that part of, you know, the way you thought about your strategy and your roadmap? And in particular, I'm wondering, you brought up the patent issue, which is fascinating. I'm also wondering if you've got an aging workforce at all, and if, you know, the knowledge that's in their heads needs to get into the organization for the organization to continue to be effective. And how did you kind of navigate that process? And you know, now that I hear this about the patents and kind of the concept or the culture of information hoarding, it makes that question even, or that challenge maybe even more powerful.
Yes, absolutely. So a couple of things about that. First of all, that was one of my driving forces and one of my key points in my business case 10 years ago was, it was not uncommon when I came into the organization 13 years ago, it was not uncommon to meet employees who had been here 30 plus years. So we had a very highly tenured workforce and clearly a group of people who were going to be leaving in the next 10 or 15 years. And so that was one of my driving forces then, was to try to capture some of those best practices and that knowledge to be shared as we grew, as we brought new employees in, as that turnover occurred and so forth. Now it's emergent. now there are so many people retiring that if we didn't capture what they knew, we're really feeling that pain. And so while the tool has helped enable that, sort of having that space where we could do it, we didn't really take the time to put the processes in place to help extract that implicit knowledge to be able to capture it. So we do have some folks who are scrambling a little bit now that they know there's a space. So there may be a community on the platform around a particular technology. So now they know, oh, if I can go get the information from Paul before he leaves, I can put it in this space. They didn't have the space before, but the process is still a little bit shaky. So we're still working through that.
Wow. Yeah, that's a tricky kind of path to navigate. And I think it maybe gets a little bit, as I mentioned, just a little bit more challenging given some of the kind of cultural artifacts, I'll call them, in your organization. But it sounds like you've got a plan and you're working it. So that's great.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, the good news is that as we grow, we have new employees coming in who are asking for that information. They know immediately there's a tool where it could be sitting. And so they're saying, hey, I know that guy's getting ready to retire. There's some stuff I'm going to need to know from him. There's this place where I could put it. Why isn't it already there? So while on one hand, we didn't have the processes in place to really make that happen seamlessly, we now have a community of people driving some of that activity. So that's helping the process move along.
So you had mentioned to me, and I love this, that when you think about the work that you do, you don't talk about building community, which is how a lot of us talk about sort of community building work, but that you talk about enabling employees. And I loved that. It resonated with me immediately. How has that mindset affected your work?
Yeah, I think that was really just about me better understanding our culture. So what really speaks to people is, how can I be more productive? How can I get access to the information I need? How can I accomplish the things that I need? How can I get connected to others in the organization who can support me? And so really, we're talking about enabling them to do their job versus building community, which, again, in our culture, I think just doesn't land well. So a lot with the social word, the word community, doesn't land really well. We're building a community. We are building relationships across the globe. That is happening. But if I told people, be sure you get on, we call the platform the Exchange, so that you can build community, they wouldn't be interested in that if they were too busy, you've got too much going on. But if I can say it will enable your productivity, it's going to enable your employees to do their jobs better, that resonates for them. So it's really more about just recognizing what was going to work in our culture and work in our organization and really leveraging that, being more strategic about how we talk about the use case and the business case and the purpose of the platform to really help engage employees.
That's a really great takeaway, both for people working in community, but also for anyone. I think it's so easy to be so close to the work you're doing to forget thinking about your audience. And if they aren't speaking the language you're speaking, it doesn't matter if you're doing a great job or if you're giving them the tools they need or those things. If you're speaking, Greek and they're speaking English, I don't know, it doesn't matter how hard you try to communicate. I think it's such a great takeaway for people.
Yeah, and again, I learned that really early when I submitted that first business case. So I knew that whether they got really hung up, but they didn't really understand the idea of these platforms. They didn't really understand what they could accomplish. And when I said it was a social enterprise network, they were really hung up on that. So I took that to heart and made sure that as we moved through the process, that I was really focused on how it was going to enable their work and not be, a place where we just socialize.
So, Carrie, you mentioned that you've launched just recently on IBM Connections. And I wonder if you could share a little bit about your launch approach. Did you go with kind of a big bang and just, you know, open the doors and say, come on in? Or was it a slow launch? And can you, you know, if you have any tips about what you did and what went well or what didn't go well in the lead up and then, you know, the month or two post-launch, can you share those too?
Yeah. So we did a year-long pilot, as I mentioned, and then when we got ready to, we got better organized and got ready to do the implementation, we had decided in the process, well, our IT group decided in the process that the platform we piloted was on-premise, and they were pretty specific about wanting it to be on-premise. And then in the process of our implementation, they said, no, we're going to go to the cloud. So that brought about a pretty, what felt like a fairly significant shift in the way the platform worked, the way that it looked. It was a couple of versions ahead of what we actually piloted. So what we did when we started the implementation was we did a phased approach. And we decided that we would start by bringing that those pilot participants, we had about 70 of them, back onto the platform to really test out the features and the functionality and make sure that it was still going to provide us all the things that we intended for it to when we did the initial pilot. So these folks were already familiar enough with their own use case, familiar enough with how it should operate, what they wanted to get out of it, that we didn't have to be too hands-on with them. So we wanted to get them in, have them help us test some of the training content and talk about the challenges that they thought others might have as we continue to roll out. So sort of a soft start to the implementation. Then, so that was at the end of 2017. In February of 2017, we brought in a couple additional groups, about another 100 people who we called early adopters. So these were folks that as we were piloting the platform and as we had been working through some of the initial implementation, they raised their hands and said, as soon as you got that thing ready, I want in on it. So we had about another 100 people that we brought in February who were already excited about it, again, understood the use case, needed some training and handholding, but not too much. Then we thought we would go with a more organic approach because, again, we wanted this to be about enabling people's productivity, enabling the work that they were already doing. So what I had hoped we would do is I would invest my time and energy into the people who were creating these spaces, creating these smaller communities on the platform. I would really invest in them to build the kind of communities where their members would say, oh, I know how else I can use this. There's this other group I want to bring on. And then they would continue those same behaviors in their community to help build a really robust community and continue to grow the platform. By May, we had over 500 employees on the platform. So the organic growth model was working great, but we couldn't handle it. So we didn't have a provisioning process in place where people actually had could easily access the platform. The IT group had decided we were going to do a single sign-on, but we had never done that before, so that was really clunky and was really holding up our ability to get people on the platform fast. We didn't have all of the training sort of organized in a way that we could really sustain it growing as fast as it was. So then we stopped and said, we're going to do this big bang, full-on implementation, invite everybody in all at once, and then make sure that we have some sustainability processes in place. So we did a little bit of both, as you described, sort of a soft implementation at first, and then we decided to go full on. So in August, we created a 4-week communication and training and onboarding plan. So 2 weeks before the actual launch, and then a couple of weeks after, where we still had some ongoing communications. I organized people around the globe, so I had what we called an ambassador at every location who was responsible for doing a lot of the communication distribution so that it was coming from somebody that was familiar to the people at their location and they helped us with some of the translations of the communications content. And then we had them actually do some live demos and meetings at each of their locations as well. So we had weeks of events that we scheduled and communications that we scheduled that were all happening simultaneously around the globe. So that seemed to work for us pretty well. And then the sustainability processes after that about how we bring in new hires and the onboarding that they go through, that all is coming back to me, so I'm managing that now.
That's an amazing rollout story. It's sort of like a, I hope anyone listening was taking notes. It's a really great blueprint for how to really take your time and get all the pieces in place. I loved it. I wasn't taking notes, but I should have been. We love to wrap up the podcast with the same question every time. And that question is, what is your community superpower?
Yeah, it's funny. When I was thinking about this again recently, I feel like it has shifted. So I've been a member of the Community Roundtable for a few years. So I joined the Community Roundtable before I had a community because I really wanted to learn as much as I could about this process and about this dynamic before I actually had a platform to manage. And back then, my superpower was perseverance because I had just been in this game for so long and I've been trying to make it happen for so long. I felt like that's a superpower, to hang with it long enough to actually, to believe in it enough to really see it come to fruition. And now that it has, I feel like what has made me successful is not just that I was persevering, but that I was really working hard to align strategically with the organization. So every step of the way, even with my initial business case, I was looking at how does this work really fit in what the organization is trying to accomplish. So as we were growing, I was talking about how do we enable that growth? How do we share our best practices? How do we enable those processes as we bring in new people and new locations? And even today, really talking about how do we onboard new hires and how do we do better project management and collaboration in groups and project groups and work groups. So I think that my superpower now is really about aligning strategically with the organization.
I love that. And I love the idea that it's evolving. I think that's fantastic. I'm excited to talk to you in 2 years and see what it is 2 years from now.
I also need to put in a shameless plug. I love the fact that you joined the Community Roundtable, the CR Network, before you had a community. If I had a nickel, I think that's a best practice, because if I had a nickel for every person that's joined the Community Roundtable and said, I could have used you 6 to 12 months ago, we were still planning. So for anyone out there listening, and if you're holding back on becoming part of the network until you've got a platform, don't wait.
It was so helpful for me. So I absolutely agree.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for taking the time out of your cold, frozen day to chat with us. We really appreciate it. And I hope it warms up for all of us.
Oh, I think it's supposed to be 45 this weekend, so it's going to get ridiculously warm in just a couple of days. It feels ridiculously warm for what it is right now.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much. This was wonderful, Carrie.
Thank you so much for including me.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.